This evening, you're getting confused. I think it's Parshas Noach here. What I'd like to do is to go back now to Perek Beis, specifically, and start taking it to a certain extent more pasuk by pasuk. Those of you who were with us the last 2 weeks know that we were doing what I'd call somewhat more macro issues with the creation of Adam. We had learned the beginning of Perek Beis through and including Pasuk Ches, which is of course the creation of Adam, a very famous Pasuk. And we had spent the previous two shiurim looking at macro issues. The first macro issue was the redundancy as well as the inconsistency between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, two creations of Adam. And then we spent last week discussing a little bit of that, but with primary focus on inconsistencies or questions about the whole order of Perek Beis itself, why the story keeps on starting and being interrupted. First Adam is created, and then you have the garden, and then you have the animals, and then you have Chava, and then you're back to the garden, and then you've got... It's a confusing 20 or so psukim, and in both cases, our guide, the last 2 weeks, were... different essays and shurim from Rav Soloveitchik. The questions that he asked are very profoundly and very trenchant pshat questions. And his answers, I would say, were a combination of pshat and drash. I guess you could quibble, arguably, about how much of his answers were pshat, how much of his answers were drash, but I think there's no question that both elements were there. There's definitely part of his answers which are as rigorous, I think, as his questions, but then I think he also very much had the liberty. He wasn't, he's not a parshan of Chumash. That's not what he was there to do. He was there to give an explanation and to give a meaningful hashkafic drush of both Perek Aleph versus Perek Beis, as well as Perek Beis itself. But those were two meta issues we discussed, Adam 1 and Adam 2, Adam and Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, science and technology, going to the moon. We discussed introverted versus extroverted, Hashem as this awesome creature who man has no relationship with versus the more intimate relationship, all those different dimensions of the human personality and, more importantly, the relationship between human beings and the Rabbono Shel Olam. What I'd now like to do is to go back and start reading those psukim. Those are the meta issues, the big issues. And now let's, today's shir in particular, as you, in Gemara you might call this a Ha'ara shir. As I want to go and see some of the specific... we did some of the meta lomdasha questions the last few weeks, and now I want to focus on some of the specific issues in the psukim and just understand the pshat, what is going on, what is the story telling us. And my hope is to lead up to, and including getting a little bit of an understanding of what the Eitz HaChaim is this week. We won't get really into the Eitz HaDa'as, and I'm not sure if we'll do that next week, or we'll hold that until we get to the action with the Eitz HaDa'as. In other words, right now we're just up to acknowledging there is such a tree called Eitz HaDa'as and the prohibition from eating it. I'm not sure how much we want to discuss then or how much is it worth it to wait to see Adam and Chava do eat and then go back. That'll be a decision I'll have to make before the next year. But I do want to get into some of those issues that lead up to that now. One thing which we'll be skipping a little bit, just because I have nothing to say other than what you see in the Chumash, is the issue with the rivers and their names. So that's just, there are limits to how much we can do together, how much I have to share with you, frankly. So that we will skip. But let's go back now to Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches. Let's see that Pasuk, just as because it's a good introduction to us to what we're going to continue to see now. Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, V'yitzar Hashem Elokim, Es Adam, Adam is created, Ofrim and Ha'adamah, from the dirt of the earth, Yivech Ba'av Nishmaschayim, Hashem breathed life into him, V'hi Ha'adam L'Hashchaya, and he is a living creature. Okay, that was Adam. Fine. That was our immediate context. Now let's get into the details of the next two psukim. Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Ve'eden Mikedem. Hashem planted a garden Ve'eden. Perhaps Greg has particular insight into the word or name Eden. But in general, I'm going to leave that for now as untranslated. And Mikedem. How do you translate Mikedem? Gan is the only word that to me is easy to translate. Gan means a garden. What is Eden? And what is Mikedem? Okay, so we have a machlokes. Oh, a machlokes. Everyone heard that? Is Mikedem, right? Tzafona, you know, Kedma Mizracha. Tzafona could be east, or Tzafona, or Kedem could be Mikodem, before. Okay, keep that in mind. So there is this garden that's got two adjectives next to it, which we don't know how to translate yet.
And maybe they're not both adjectives. That's also a question. And the Arch Scroll does not translate Aden as an adjective. So let's see. That's part of the name. It's a place, according to the Arch Scroll. But Yosem Shamas Adam, and wherever that garden is, and whatever it is, Adam is planted in it. Just to think for a moment, we'll get back to this later in the shir. If he's planted in it, where was he created? In it or somewhere else? Sounds like he was created somewhere else and then brought. You know, what does that mean for a human being to be planted? It sounds like
transplanted,
right? That's probably a better, right? Very good. Planted or transplanted? That could have been the subtitle of the shir. Yosem Shemes Adam. Man was planted. Who is this man again? Asher Yatzar, the man that Hashem had created him. Just do one more pasuk for now, and that'll be it. As I said, we're going to be skipping the four pasuk after that. So in essence, we'll be up to pasuk Yud Tezvav, other than going back to the Eitz Hadas. But just to see one more pasuk for tonight, Yitzvach Hashem Elokim Min HaAdama, and God caused to grow or to sprout from the ground Kol Eitz Nechmad Lamare, beautiful trees to witness, V'tov L'machal, and delicious to eat, and Eitz HaChayim V'Soch HaGan, the tree of life in the middle of the garden, V'Eitz Hadas Tovara, and the tree of knowledge, Tovara. Where was that tree of knowledge? Is it also B'soch HaGan? Is it possible for two trees to both be in the middle? Just physically, is it possible for two things to be in the middle? That's something that the Mefarshim are going to struggle with, and we'll hold off on that because that relates more to the definition of Eitz Hadas, or not so much the definition, but it's part of that parsha. So as I said, that'll be for perhaps next week. Okay, and then the Chumash gets into the rivers. After the digression of the rivers, back in Tezvav, we then have Hashem putting Adam again into the Gan, which we already knew he was there, but specifically with the purpose of the Ulashomra. Okay, let's
use a different word.
Yes, correct. So there the issue is not so much, I think, why it's repeated at all is a good question, but I think clearly because the focus in that pasuk is not that he's put there, because we already know that it's the law of the Lashon, that's the goal of that pasuk. It begs the question, you know, so Adam, who's already there, as opposed to being transported, he's kind of already there, but his purpose now, we're told, is to work. Right, but again, I think that my own sense, but we'll save this for future discussion and perhaps debate, is that that's not the focus of that pasuk. So perhaps that's why, maybe that's the subtle nuance between those two. Because we already know that he was put there. That's why Yita now. But okay, we'll leave that. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Our first question, which again, you can't get out of the box. I don't know, if there would be a baseball game tonight, in Baltimore would be rained out. But, you know, you got to get out of the batter's box before you can get to first base. So we're not even out of the batter's box yet. The first question is, what is this Mikedem? What is Mikedem? Gan Eden, Mikedem. You know, because in our own knowledge, we always talk about Gan Eden, we forget about the fact that it's not just that there's a third word in the pasuk. If you're sensitive to the signs, the vowels underneath the words, the trup, we know that's supposed to be a phrase, right? The pause is, right? The stop sign is actually not after Gan Eden. It's after Mikedem. So how do we make sense of this three-word phrase?
It's also not Gan Eden, it's Gan Ben-Eden.
Right, that's also true, that's correct. So we'll get to what Eden is, but first I want to get to what is Kedem. So let's start with seeing Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Ches, the beginning. Mi Kedem. So Rashi takes the position that here Mi Kedem means B'mizracho Shel Eden. So he asks, what is Eden? Eden's the place. We'll have to see where the name Eden comes from, but it's in Baltimore. It's a place. It's the name of a place. It's Eden. Right? It's in Baltimore. It's in Schenectady. It's Eretz Yisrael, whatever. It's the place. Where the name, what the etymology of Eden symbolizes, that we can see perhaps in a few minutes. But it's that, at least we know, okay, so Rashi has the name of a place. And Mikedem is telling you where in the place. It's in the eastern part of Eden. Right? It's in the eastern part of Eden. Mizracho shel Eden. Not the Esagan, and there he planted the garden. So this whole area that Adam is in, this paradise lost, is called Eden. And where is Adam? Where's the story about to happen with Chava? And then we get to our buddy the snake. That is in the east, Urn part. Im Tomar, and if you'll ask, Hare Kfar Kosov, Vivras Adam Begomer, i.e., in essence, didn't we already discuss Adam's creation? What's going on here? Why are they telling us this new detail?
So he explains with the technical answer. I don't want to get too far into this, but just to follow up the thought and finish the thought. For Ethio Brisa, he says, there is a famous tradition, Brisa, Trevelozer, Beno, Shobiosia, Glili, of how to interpret Psukim. She, Mishloshim, Vishtayim, Mitos, Shator, and Adrasha. It's not the Yud Gimel 13 ways to darshan Psukim halachically that we're more familiar with, but here more just Pshat, Agada, how do you understand Psukim 32 different ways? One of them, v'zuachas mi'en, and how to reconcile this, says the Rashi, is one of them. Klal, if you first hear a rule, a general statement, shalachar of ma'isa, which is then followed by a ma'isa, by specific narrative, a story, hu prato shal risha, that story is part of the general, you know, it's like the opposite of a teaser in an ad. Right? Teasers and ads will give you something very specific that they then want to get your attention, and once they've gotten your attention, they say, you know, beautiful skirts, $9.99. Right, that's the specific. Come to Bloomingdale General Sale. I think that's. But this says Rashi, the Torah says the opposite because the Torah's not into marketing. The Torah says there's a story, there's a general story, there's a sale, there's something going on, and then they'll tell you a specific. What's the specific? What's the specific? What's the context? Oh, just don't be so creative. It don't have to be so fancy. Just because it's a detail of the general thing that was just mentioned. Who prato shel rishon? It's a detail. And therefore, this applies here. First, the general rules, that we're talking about the creation of Adam. But what did the Torah never tell us in the original Perek Aleph? From where? We don't know the details. It's just the general story. Adam's created. From where? How? We don't know anything. It also tells us what happened to him we don't know anything about. So comes along, Chazer v'Peirash, v'Yitzar Hashem Elokim v'Gomer, v'Yitzmach b'Gan Eden, v'Yanecheo b'Gan Eden, etc. Then he fell asleep, etc. He just gives you now a few brief highlights of what the rest of the story of Perek Beis. Now, what Rashi here never tells you is, well, why didn't it put it together? Why separate them? Why put them in two different parakim? So for that, you have to go back to Shurim ago and a little bit of last week's shir from Rav Salvei Shur, or for that matter, if there would be a different parish. But Rashi, you know, if you're just reading Rashi without coming to Shir the last 2 weeks, so it doesn't really answer the question. Okay, so now we know this fits into that. That's fine. But a thoughtful reader would ask, but is it easier just to say it once, to say it straight? Why divide it up into two parakim, almost like two different parallel stories? And let's be honest, Rashi doesn't give you the full story. It's not that there was once a general thing and now there's details. There's a certain redundancy too. It's not that they're fully complementary. They're also redundant and there's also inconsistency. So Rashi is telling you a general concept. This Rashi fits in with the general approach of Rav Soloveitchik, but it does not nearly go, it's not as ambitious as what Rav Soloveitchik was trying to accomplish. But that's just the continuation of Rashi to get a sense of it. But the main thing I wanted to bring out in Rashi is the first little point. What is Mikedem? It's a geographical location. If you go to Boy Scouts, if you have those new Sidurim that have the compass that say east, so if you got lost and got Aiden, you want to say, where's Adam? You know, east. Mikedem. He is in the eastern part of the Gan.
But well, Peter, it doesn't appear that Rashi is troubled by the word Mikedem. I mean, because if it's as simple as that, it's in the east.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be a need to really struggle with it. I mean, Mikedem is east. But
why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because
why
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because there's a Midrashic tradition that disagrees, and that's what I want to get to next. Take a look at the beginning of your sheet. There's a whole other approach out there, which was mentioned, I'm not sure who it was, at the table. Rashi is coming to disagree with a tradition which he undoubtedly knew about. He doesn't tell us about it, but undoubtedly he knew about it, and Rashi disagrees. The Targum Unkel is just to give you, we'll start with the Targum. When the Targum translates this pasuk, the Targum is using difficult Aramaic. Benitza Hashem Elokim Ganasa Ba'eden. Hashem stood up or placed, referring to Adam, of course, in this garden of Eden. Milakadmin. What does Milakadmin mean? It does not mean east. It means before. It means previously. That's a very good word, Alan. That's a good choice of word. Previously. The garden which was previously created is where Adam is placed. What is the Targum driving at? What's the point he's trying to make? I'm not asking you a trick question. It's not like answer C on the SATs. The obvious point which you're thinking of, that is what I'm looking for. I just want someone to say it. The garden was created first. We never were told about it until Perek Beis. Says the Targum, the garden pre
existed Adam. It was created first, and that's where Adam was. Now, where did the Targum get this? Or how does the Targum know that? You could have said, well, that's how we derived etymologically Mekadem, but the truth is it's not that original. It's a tradition in the Medrash. What's fascinating about the tradition in the Medrash is just how far back does this garden go? Does this paradise lost go? Is itself a debate. Within the position that the garden predates Adam, there's actually a 2a and a 2b. Let's take a look. I gave you a few of the sources in Chazal. So for starters, there is the extreme position. I would say it's relatively, my guess is it's the minority view, but I didn't count up like Marmakomas and Chazal, but I think it's the minority view. And it comes from a few different Midrashim, and it's perhaps easily most authoritatively quoted in Gemara in Masachas Pesachim, for the Daf Yomi learners here. Daf Nun Dal Ramar Aleph, right in the middle when you thought you had all sorts of difficult kutcher parts, you had this nice Agadita. It's in a context that has to do with different other agadatas. So I'm giving you the middle of a story, but that's what's relevant for us. Vatanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Shiva dvar nivru. Kodem shenivra, not Adam. Ha'ola. Ooh, not just predating Adam. I'll take that and I'll raise you some. What have you done for me lately? That's impressive. Before Adam, give me a break. Created before the world itself. What are the six things created? Seven things created before the world, says the Gemara? Torah, Teshuvah, V'Gan Eden. Not Gan V'Eden already? Chazal referred to it as Gan Eden. Just in case you want the story to continue, Gehenim, a little less exciting. Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's throne, the Beis HaMikdash. And interestingly, everything else we saw is tangible. Unless you want to talk about maybe Kisei HaKavod is not, but at least it's describing something that's metaphorically tangible. One which is completely not is the last one. Ushmo Shel HaMashiach. Right? That's what is that an extreme version of the Chazal? We're only what, a few months away, 2 months away? When is Mashiach gonna be born? Tisha B'Av. No, this is even more extreme. It's like, you know, in other words, the idea that somehow even before or simultaneous with the problems you already have the hope for the future. So that's not enough. Even before, that's like at the same time as the problem, you also have the solution.
What Mikdash?
The first Beis Hamikdash. I think you saw the first Beis Hamikdash.
Well, the whole Tanakh about it, section of Tanakh, or Shlomo Melech built the Beis Hamikdash.
Correct, so what does that mean? It was created before the universe?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think you have to understand that allegorically.
Okay, I'm not.
Is there that eventually the third Beis Hamikdash is supposed to come down?
Could be. That, listen, how do you understand this medrash? Listen, there are Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, right? Ten things created in Bein HaShmoshos and all this kind of stuff. How you understand those, whether it's more literal or more allegorical, those are major questions. And that's not what I want to discuss now. Other than that, in light of the Targum is looking at this previously, to use Alan's word, is not metaphorical. Now, whether the Targum had in mind this time of Chazal, previously meaning before the whole world, that's what I'm calling 2A, right? Number one explanation is it's east, you get them. But 2 is, no, Milakadmin is talking about before, previously. Previous to what? So 2A is this Gemara, and as I said, there are other Midrashim as well. It means even before the world. By the way, let's just continue the Gemara. The Gemara then gives you proof texts to explain each one of the seven, how do we know that it predates the world? Look at the Gemara, concludes, Gan Eden, the slave, our Pasuk, Bita Hashem Elokim, Gan Eden, Mikedem. So the Gemara is reading our Pasuk, Mikedem, previously, before the whole world. That's how the Gemara is reading our Pasuk. Perhaps that's what the Targum means as well. That's certainly one tradition of Chazal, but the Gan Eden.
What does Rashi do with that Gemara?
He may reject it. Or he may believe that it's true, but that's not Taich in the Pasuk.
That's not Taich in the Pasuk.
That's all. We could have a different. That could be the Drash. That's the Drash, and he's giving you the Pshat. That's the Drash. He's telling you Pshat is easy. And the Drash is. I think that's easy for Rashi. But just so you should know, that's only 2A. What's 2B? What's another whole approach? The next medrash. And it's interesting that the next medrash doesn't just give you an alternative. The next medrash actually explicitly rejects our Gemara. You want to know what Rashi does? So Rashi will tell you, even if he doesn't want to hold all the way, which we're suggesting, there's at least a machlokas in the Medrash. Because look at the next source, Medrash Rabba Perek Tesvav. Mi kedem, Amr Shmuel bar Nachman, Atzav, or Kodol Briosa Shalolam, you silly fool, you might have thought, how early? Ooh, before the world. Why would you have thought that? He doesn't say, but not because we're silly, but because we know the Gemara Msachim. We thought, I just learned Daf Yomi, I know that it's before the beginning of the world. Says Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, you're wrong. Ve'inu Ella, Hodam La'adam Arishon. It means before, previously, but what's relevant? Not before the beginning of the world. Where do you get that from? That's not the context in the Pasuk. Context in the Pasuk, in the next Pasuk, for sure, is going to be Adam. He is the center of attention now. Not Bris Olam, now it's Perek Aleph. Perek Beis is about Adam. Let's remember what Soloveitchik's Ha'ara from last week. Right? That Perek Aleph is about the creation of the world. And Adam is just mentioned because he's one of the creations in the world. As opposed to Perek Beis, the focus is on him and what happens to him. So, in that context, even if Mikedem does mean previously as opposed to eastward, but it means previously meaning before him. What did that mean? When? And you'll tell me, well, when? Well, we know he was created on the sixth day. It says the Medrash, Vegane Dan Bashlishi. And it quotes a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim that it suggests, implies this, how Hashem is giving the Yeshua the salvation, the potential reward, even before we've earned it, before we've even existed. And the Medrash concludes, Ru'u pu'ula tava, look at this great kindness that Hashem has done, Shehizkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Schari Ad Shelo Amadati Lepol. He's already given me the reward before I did anything. Meaning the reward of Gan Eden is on day 3 before others have ever done anything on day 6. How does this Medrash know that the Gan was created on the third day? Even if he'll tell me he wasn't created before the end of the world, but it's certainly not, it's not any pasuk. We've had a number of times in our learning this year references by Mefarshim to the creation of the angels, right? But that's not in Chumash, right? It's in Medrash, it's Machlokas in the Medrash, it's different opinions of the Ramban. But there can be things that are created that weren't right, not every detail is in these psukim. So how do we know when it is? So look at the next Medrash. Next Medrash, and there's others I could have quoted for you, but just to give you another reference, the cross-reference, the Medrash here says, again, it's not talking about our Pasuk now. The Medrash is talking about creation. The Medrash tells us something very interesting. Rabbi Levi, B'Shem, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Amar, Shalosh Abriyo Shayo Kadosh Baruch Hu Borei B'Choyom V'Yom. Hashem created very symmetrical, very orderly. Hashem was a Yeke. Hashem created three things each day. Each day, three things. And a Yankee fan. A Yankee and a Yankee fan. I can live with that. If you can live with that, I can live with that. Okay? Three things each day. But Aleph on the first day, Bar Shamayim, V'aretz, V'ora, earth, heaven, and light. V'beis on Monday, Rakia, right? Gehenim, U'malachim. Lots of Medrash talking about the angels on day two. But Gimel, says the Medrash, Ilanos, the trees, the Tashan, right, the grass, the stuff, the bushes, Vigan Eden.
That makes sense.
If you're going to pick a day, so that Medrash is known by our Medrash. So once we know that the from this earlier Medrash, that Gan Eden, according to this opinion, is not created before the beginning of the world, but specifically on day 3, so comes along our Medrash on our Pasuk and says, Mikadem must mean before. Before what? Before Adam. How soon? Fifth day, and it's going to say the Adam is created last, so you got every other day to choose from. The third day, how do we know that? A Medrash. And that Medrash, as Bernie says, makes a lot of sense. If it's going to be created earlier, it might as well be created when the trees are created. Which is? So what you still have to add, what you still have to wonder, which to me is the main question. The main question to me, whenever you have these types of things, before the world, all these kind of things, is very simple. What was so important that had to be illustrated in that way? Maybe it's literal, maybe it's allegorical, we're never going to know. But it's clearly trying to tell us, it was so crucial about Gan Eden, that it has to be either literally created before the world, whatever that would mean, which is impossible anyway for a human being to conceive of what could be created before the world is created. But secondly, more importantly than that, is what is so important that it may even have been allegorically? What's the Medrash Chazal, the Gemara, what are they trying to get at? That to me is the question. Everything else, well, it's literal, it's figurative, is there any detail to me? You'll say it's a big detail, okay. But to me it's not the important question. Right? In every Parsha, in every Chumash, every Gemara, every anything, there's little questions and there's big questions. The big question is, what's so important about Gan Eden? Right? Torah, okay. Yeah. Mashiach, okay, maybe. What's so important about this Gan Eden, right? It existed for how long? You know, or even if it still exists, maybe, but we only knew about it. It's lost, right? Wherever it is. So, you know, I think, I didn't have a chance to call him today, but I actually thought about doing so. Shlomo Horowitz, with one of his productions that he does for kids, for teens, I think one of them is about Gan Eden. Did it really exist, or where is it? So I didn't ask him what sources he has or what he discussed, but it's worth trying speaking to him to see what he has about this topic. Be that as it may, we have this machlokas. A machlokas in Chazal already. And it's echoed by Rashi versus Unkelos. When was this Gan Eden or Gan Eden created? Was it before creation of the world, which certainly implies something very profoundly important? Or did you just, you know, that's how I would touch this debate. It's not so important to me technically if it was the third day or before, but what it really seems to be saying, if you say it was created before the beginning of the world, that's a statement of magnificent, meta, amazing, awesome importance to this whole universe, the whole civilization, that it should have been already there. Or you say, I would argue the other opinion, that it was on day three, then it may have predated Adam, but it's not that it doesn't strike me as being so important that it predated Adam. It just happened, because that's when he was creating the trees. So is it profoundly important that the Gan existed before Adam, or did it just happen coincidentally to exist before him? To me, that's how I would touch, so I would explain these two opinions. But again, keep in mind, let's not lose, since we are talking about a Gan, the forest for the trees, these are two versions of one whole approach. The one whole approach being that Mikedem means previously or beforehand. Rashi has a completely different approach, which is that none of whether or not it's true, but it has nothing to do with Taichin Pasuk. The Pasuk is telling you an Eastern fact. Just so you should know, we'll see it momentarily, although we won't be focusing on it inside. Just so you should know, the Ramban quotes this Machlokes. The Ramban quotes both opinions and goes with the Midrashic approach, that it means before, not East. I have that on the sheet for you. What I don't have on the sheet for you is that the Radak also quotes the Machlokes, and the Radak goes out of his way to say that Rashi's correct. So you have Mamash and straight line. You have Machlokes and Midrashim, Rashi versus Unkelos, and if you want to keep the tree going, the Machlokes, you have Radak versus Ramban as well. Yes, Toby.
In the opinion that says it was created on the third day, what's the significance of mentioning the Pasuk?
You mean Mikedem here?
Yeah.
The question is, he's asking a question really on me, I think, and you maybe forced me to reconsider it then. I'm not sure it's a good question. In other words, I was saying, I think this is what you're getting at, that it's really significant that the garden was created before Adam if it means that it's created before the beginning of the world. Not so much so important if it was on the third day. But they'll be saying, then why, you know, the Torah is going out of its way to tell us Mikedem here in our Pasuk. So why is the Torah going out of its way to tell us that it's Mikedem unless it's of significant importance that it is either to the geographical location eastward or that it was before Adam? So if it's before the creation of the world, we're already saying that that's getting at, the driving at a position, a point of being important. But if I'm saying if it was on the third day, it's just a coincidence that it became earlier, so then, okay, it's fine for the Medrash to point out, but why does the Chosh have to stress it?
But you can say that about East also. Who cares?
Right.
The location is, it's the same.
Right, so that's a question on... So Rashi seems to say about the East word, you know what, you just want to have a full picture. You know, a good narrator gives you all the details, you know? Paints the details, you know what I mean? The great Lahavdil, you know, the good play-by-play person on the radio. Right now, no one listens to anything on the radio anymore. But the godless of being able to listen to someone on the radio, they had to describe things as much more vivid descriptions. That seems to be what Rashi was getting at, right? You had the general story, he says, then the details. But I guess you're right, it's not so theologically important. So maybe the same answer that we gave for Rashi, Bernie's saying we'd have to get to Dovi's question, is just, in Hanami, even if it's not profoundly philosophically important, maybe it's just giving you that important detail. Yes.
Whether this possibly may relate to Rav Soloveitchik's whole perspective on this. In other words, it could have been before you had that, but it was created like anything else. When the Gan Eden here is already talking about the implications of Tov Ra and all this kind of thing, gets very involved intimately with man and his following Hashem and this. And, I mean, in other words, what I'm saying is maybe in the context where it might have been created before, with this, you know, part of the universe, that was it. Here already, we're talking about a whole context.
It relates because how it's going to impact on the development of
Adam.
On humanity. Good. Very good. Good. Very good. Okay. Let's move on and see the Ramban. Ramban, as you see here, he starts off by quoting the Machlokes Rashi in the Midrashim, eastward versus earlier. That's not what I want to focus on. Now I want to focus on, what did the Pasuk say? Go back, what's the Pasuk? Vayita Hashem, right? We went right to Gan Mikedem. What is Vayita? Right? Planted, and then we said transplanted. So take a look at this Ramban. Second line. Ein tam Vayita Shehedi Ilonas Mimakam Acher Unaton Niton. Why does Rashi Ramban say it doesn't mean that? It doesn't mean you took trees and you, little baby trees and you planted them. Because in general, in Medrash, in Mishnah, in Halacha, Netia, the act of being Noteya, as opposed to being Zoreya, they both mean planting. Zoreya is putting a seed into the ground. Noteya is putting a sapling or something into the ground. And then it grows in that new place. So Noteya implies that there were these trees who knows where. And then Hashem put them in this place called Gan Be'eden. Says Ramban, that's not what it means. Now why does the Ramban say that? Because if you take a look, what Rashi, he had suggested that it means that the, like Unculus, that it was right before. Meaning that the Gan was created at the same time as the trees. So it can't be that there were trees somewhere else that were then brought to the Gan. Because according to the Ramban, they were created at the same time. If you didn't have that background and you're just reading these psukim, okay, so on day three trees were created and we have this garden, presumably maybe it took place afterwards, so then you could bring trees, schlep trees to the new garden. Right? If you're starting a new garden and you have a VIP coming tomorrow, you don't have time to put the seeds in the ground and let it grow beautifully, what are you going to do? You're going to uproot, you know, we needed trees immediately in one of the phases of our construction process. Right? In the back. We didn't plant, right? That'll take us 10 years to get the trees. So what do? We took trees from another building, we just left them over there. So that would have made more sense, except for the fact that it says the Ramban, it can't be. But the Ramban says, according to my shot, in essence, it doesn't work. So what else is Vayita getting at then? So he tells us the following. Aval inyan Vayita Hashem Elokim Lahagid Shehayu. I'm not sure how to pronounce what the conjugation of that is. Mateo or Mita. Mata. Hashem. Mata, how do you pronounce that, Ms. Monk? Mata. Mata Hashem. Namely, it's going out of this way to tell you that it's Hashem who planted. Vayit Hashem. Hashem planted. Namely, Ki terem shegozrala aritz tosi haris desha. Before Hashem has decided that grass and other things are going to grow out of the ground. Gozer b'makom hahu shiesham gan. Hashem decided that it's right here in this specific geographical location. Longitude this, latitude that, there is going to be this primordial, or not necessarily primordial, but prehistorical paradise. This Gan. But Omar and said, Bekan ye Ilon Floni. And Hashem was mamish. What's the profession? There are people who make gardens, right? What's that profession? Like for the kings and the castles? No, there's a real word. Yeah, horticulturist maybe, or something like that. It's not me schlepping the things, that's for sure. There's a word. I went to read an article in the New York Times Magazine about some of these incredible, you know, gardens. And there's ratings. Like, there's the top guy in England and the top guy in Italy. To have certain talents to be able to create an image and, you know, it's an artwork. It's not just planting. It's an artwork to be able to create these gardens. So Hashem is the original master artist when it comes to this garden. Hashem said, this, like, micromanager, this tree will be there, this tree will be there. Ilan Ploni Bekan, Ilan Ploni Bekan. Ka'aruga Samata. Right? Like an amamish, like a gardener, like somebody who's planting this. Lo haya kederach shashar mekomos aretz. Unlike, this is a profoundly important hashkafic statement of the Ramban. Very not from, I have to say. Not like the rest of the world, where Hashem didn't specify this tree should be there and that tree should be there. Shomer tachi aretz desha veitz pri. Hashem said there should be trees, there should be fruit trees, there should be bushes. Hatzmicha below seder, says the Ramban. That there happens to be a tree in Baltimore on Green Spring? Okay. This happened, that happened, it happened. I guess you have to say if there's a desert or somewhere there's no trees, that was Rasan Hashem. But in the place of the world, where there is vegetation in the world, there should want vegetation there. Exactly. What the pattern should be, Hashem left that to other forces. But the Gan Eden, Hashem specified this tree there, that tree there. That's interesting. I didn't mean it cavalierly or sarcastically when I said not so frum, because the Ramban in general, and I don't know how to square this right now, and I don't want to get digress either, just to bring it to your attention for further thought or blogging, is that, Greg, you've already been mentioned twice in the shir tonight, Greg. You have been the perfect prop tonight. Thank you for coming. The Ramban is generally of the opinion, if you will, again, you'll forgive the terminology, but the frum approach to Hashkocha Protus and Hashem's involvement in the world is the Ramban's Shita. The Ramban and many others that follow him. But it's most well known to be the Ramban Shita. The Ramban says in different places how there is no such thing as nature. Nature is just cosmetic. It's all Ratzon Hashem. And in fact, the Sfas Emes, my Elter Zaidi, has a comment which is generally seen as an offshoot of the Ramban, where he basically says, not about the tree planting, but the leaf. How the Sfas Emes says that there's no leaf that falls without Hashem saying, leaf, you fall now. Leaf, you fall now. It's the dominant approach in Chazal. Again, in the medieval philosophers, it's more known as the Ramban Shita, and many others that follow him, Rabbeinu Chofzal Vavos, others that follow that. Whereas the Rambam, and perhaps others, have a much more removed relationship. Rambam in particular speaks about a relative Hashkacha. The Rambam has a Shita, basically that the more you put Hashem in your life, the bigger tzaddik you are, the more Hashem will be in your life. So for the tzaddik, everything that happens is from Hashem. But the more you're distanced from Hashem, the more he's going to leave you to fate. The more he'll be distant from you. And there's others, perhaps in the middle, others maybe even go more extreme, Chas v'Kreskes. Maybe another time we'll have an individual or series of shurim on these types of topics. But just to point out, the Ramban is world famous for this approach that everything that happens is from Hashem. So perhaps the distinction is, I'm just thinking out loud now, I don't have anything worked out for you, is that maybe that has to do with the affairs of man as opposed to the affairs of nature. I don't know. But the Ramban here clearly states, and it certainly has to be woven into his general approach to God's interaction with the world, below Seder, he says it explicitly. Now, I mean, maybe someone will deny it and put Ramban in Chayrim now, and who knows, we live in an interesting world. But this was what the Ramban says. Yeah?
The Pasuk alludes to the fact that Ramban saying in the Gan Eden everything was placed in a specific place.
Right.
What's the Raya? Because it says that the Eitz Hadas...
Right. He doesn't quote that, but I think that's who probably right.
And therefore shows that there was something...
Right, that didn't happen randomly either, presumably, right?
It says in the positive, right. In the center.
But then that's probably not random. That probably didn't happen accidentally. Right.
Good.
That's a good support for him. But you don't have to take the other... You don't have to say the final part of the Ramban. You could have said that that's a... that's giving you a sense, a paradigm, that's the modality that everything's going to be. Rabbah says, no, it's Dafka the Gan Eden that's Bedafka, and everything else is below Seder.
God could do something in an unorganized fashion. Meaning...
Okay, but I don't know if anyone's going to disagree with that.
Right. I'm saying, it's not necessarily his theory. You could say that the Gan Eden...
I'm sure it's not his theory. The question is how to formulate it.
But the point is to convey that Gan Eden is, like you're saying, meticulously planned and, done in a specific order. So
you're saying, this is for sure against the Sfas Emes, right? Can you say this and say that, the trees maybe are random, but the leaves are not? I mean, that's hard to say, no?
No, I think, meaning, I can go and arrange my, the furniture in my living room in a very orderly fashion, or I can just plop them down haphazardly wherever.
Okay.
I seem to just,
Fine.
Meaning there's no real intent, it's just, there's nothing, there's no meaning behind it, it's just I'm putting them there. But it can still be...
That I did every single one.
Right.
Okay, so, but listen, it can't be, right? It's only one Ramban. I assume he's not contradicting himself, but...
Does this mean...
It needs further refinement, maybe you're on the right track.
Or for the rest of,
My take on it, and again, you're all getting at... refining it, which may lead to possible answers, is that, but my take on it is it does not mean just 6 days of creation. My take on it is that it meant more than that. Okay, I thought that was an important Ramban. Let's talk about now let's get to Eden, and as well as the second comment of the Radak. We mentioned that Rashi already tells us that Eden is a place. But, right, just like often, not always, but often places have, there's a reason that a name got its name, right? Philadelphia means something. New York meant something, right? So where does God, even if Aden is the name of the place, So what is Aiden trying to convey? What is Aiden trying to convey? So take a look at the Radak. Radak says of David Kimchi, the Aiden, Shem Makrom Nikrokain. So he agrees with Rashi, it is the name of the place. Matako, why that name of all names? Al Shem Shayam Makrom, Tashem Vishamein, Uchmachav, Aiden Vitanug, Laguf, Veniro, Lenevish Minister. Aiden is conveying the image of beautiful, delicious, wonderful. The whole essence of it is beautiful. It's like making the most magnificent city and calling it beautiful city. It's the name of the place. It's the name of the place, but it's telling you something about the place. Aiden says, Radak, is how everything was so beautiful, shamein, meaning it was lush, delicious to look at, for your body, spiritually uplifting, aesthetically pleasing, just delicious, a beautiful, beautiful thing. So that's, I didn't see any of the Mefarshim would deal with it, so I'm giving you the Radak's take on it. What's Aiden? I don't know. Alan, keep on searching, and if you'll find something, you'll let us know.
Another.
Well, you have bias on this topic.
There's
for those who don't know, Greg's daughter's name is Aiden.
It also sort of comes from Ode, like,
what did you look into before you made the name? You're probably the expert.
I mean, she's named after my grandfather.
So his name was not Aiden, I assume.
No, his name was Ed.
I want you to know, I did not plan that you'd be this much, this central to this year. But you know what? Sometimes you got to call an audible. Sometimes you got to go with it. And I think this year is definitely better for your involvement, Greg. Yasher Kayach. You think it means more. So how would that work here?
Well, it's conveying, it's sort of, it goes back to the Kedem and the relationship in time to it being, like, owed, like it's the next or more or something.
I think it has to be worked out. Yeah. I think it has to work out. Let's see the next part of the Radak. What is Vayosem, right? What did the Pasuk tell us? Vayosem Shamas Adam, that Adam was placed in this garden. What is Vayosem? So what do you mean placed? Says the Radak, he's kidu alav. Kuhaganan began. He was given command, control. He's in charge. He's in charge. But Yosem says the Ramban is not that he got picked up and placed there. The Radak, not that he got picked up and placed there. He's put in charge of the garden, as he says. Shelo yichnusu sham chayu behema. Only he's allowed in there. He's not supposed to let all these animals in there. Ulevado yochal miperyo. Only he is allowed, and hopefully it'll be good for them and for him. But it's they're in it together. The garden, the trees, and Adam. But nobody else, not the other animals, not the other birds. Yeah, very, very. Very interesting. Very interesting.
See, the way I've always understood it is that Adam never saw Aiden itself. He saw the Gan, which was.
Where did you get that from? I mean, where did you get that from?
It says Gan, Aiden Mikedem. That Aiden, that the Gan was east of the of Eden, east of the.
Although that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says the eastern part of.
Right. Eastern part of Aiden.
Right, but
what is that like? I think that's how you read Rashi, you know?
Right, that's
Bimizracho Shel Aiden, eastern part of. No.
Not east of.
I don't think so. I don't think that's how you read Rashi.
That's not how Rashi
does. Right. Let's see the Chizkuni. Chizkuni was so the Radak says by Yosem is trying to tell us that he's in charge, only right, only he's allowed in. Right? No one else is allowed in. Right? We're not up to that yet. You see how easy I can dodge? The Torah didn't tell you yet, so what do I have to tell you? You know, you're actually touching on something that's very interesting. I didn't have a chance to listen to it further, and I hope I will before future Shurim, if not this year, then next, because I think I'm sure I'll have interesting ideas. But I have a series of tapes by Rabbi David Foreman on the end of this parak. I didn't really get into anything we've discussed yet. But one of the things he's mentioning to his class, right at the beginning of the first tape, is how it's so important it is, but virtually impossible, to actually look at a story such as this afresh, with a clean slate. And you can't really interpret anything objectively if you have all the biases that we've built up from every drusher, every elementary school class, every, you know, the Dvar Torah you heard from a rabbi, or in TSY, or in camp, or wherever it is that we know things. It's very hard to, so to speak, you know, he's like encouraging these students, you know, to like go into a meditative state and, so to speak, forget about everything they know and just look at the text like anew. But it's very hard. So, Mrs. Monk, we don't know about a snake yet. There's no snake. What snake? When we get to a snake,
then
you have to think about, where did he come from? How did he get in?
Yeah.
he probably snuck right under. He slivered. We all know, right? Just to ignore my own rules. We all know that Adam wasn't exactly aware of what was going on. So Adam was the one who was supposed to keep everybody out. Right? It's a lot easier to tell him that before he had a wife. Okay. You know, he's a ball of us now. We all know once there's a wife who's in charge. It wasn't Adam. All right? That's all I'll say. If you want to know who's in charge, just ask my children. They will be happy to tell you who's in charge. Says the Chizkuni. What does Vayasem mean? So the Chizkuni says like us. Virtually every one of you, as I was reading the Pesukim, said Vayasem. Well, it sounds like he came from somewhere else. So says the Chizkuni exactly that. And he says something so beautiful. It's like perfect. It's such a muster for all of us, especially to the extent that we can employ this. If it's too late for us, then hopefully not for our children or grandchildren. Adam was not born in the garden. He got late brought there. If he was really born there and never left, he would have thought the whole world is so beautiful. The whole world is so lush. But what did Hashem do? He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was born not on the Upper East Side, on the Lower East Side. He was born where he was a little bit shver. He saw that the world was filled with thorns and thistles. It's not all so beautiful like the garden. And only afterwards, and only then, as they used to say, moving on up. The Jeffersons, they're moving on up. You should just know that's a real building. I live down the block from that building. Moving on up building. Yeah, that's on the corner of 82nd and 3rd. That building, right? No, I don't know. I think they had one in the building, though. Okay. So the point is, the Ramban is such an unbelievable, the Chizkuni, unbelievable Musar. If you're born with all this stuff, you just get spoiled. Hashem was even worried about Adam being spoiled. If you've been born in the garden, he would have had no appreciation for its beauty, because he would have thought this is what everything looks like. He only appreciated the beauty because he first saw what the thorns and the thistles look like. Very, very profound. Okay, a few more things, and then we'll conclude. Because if you want to raise children with an appreciation for things, you can't, you know, my father used to say, when a 16-year-old for their first car gets a BMW, what do they have to look forward to in life? Right? It's very, very important. People struggle with this, and not everyone is successful with this. Especially parents who are blessed, they want to give their children so much, especially parents who are self-made. They shouldn't have it so difficult like I had it. But you know what? It's a very strong balancing act because you could ruin the children. There's a reason that people work hard because they didn't have it when they were younger. So you can take away that drive, that motivation, if you give people too much. But again, it's not just related to kids. It's true about all of us. The larger point for all of us, whether or not we're in a stage of our lives with or without children, is the idea of appreciating and the idea that you shouldn't think that everything's so beautiful. Even if you have something so wonderful, you should know there are other places in the world. This kind of rise of shame. They're not so beautiful. And we should appreciate them for what we do have. What is a yitzmach? So what did the Torah tell us? Hashem, right, puts Adam in the garden. Pasuk test. The yitzmach Hashem Elokim in Adam HaKoleitz. Hashem caused to grow all these trees. So apparently something about these trees is very much divine, supernatural. Yitzmach Hashem. Hashem did it. What did Hashem do that's so supernatural? Says the Sforno, interesting, says the Sforno, Mizonosov, Shelo Bitzar. Because these were these super duper natural trees, Adam could get his Mizonos, his food, he could eat without any having to work. He didn't have to work. The tree was born, and the same day it was born, it had delicious fruit on it. He didn't have to schlep, he didn't have to water, he didn't have to irrigate, he didn't have to prune. The trees were there, beautiful, delicious. Says the Chizkuni. A different point. Not that Vayitzmach is about how hard or easy it is for Adam. Vayitzmach tells us, again, it's something supernatural or something special, but it's not about Adam and his work, but rather it's a description of the trees themselves. After the Pasuk Zerei told us in Pasuk Ches about the garden, i.e. Ratzalomar, Ha'adamah, the ground, now Pasuk Tes comes to tell us, Shelo Hitzmiach HaKel, the gan, what did he put into the garden? Not Ilan Srak. An Ilan Srak is a Talmudic phrase for saying a non-fruit-bearing tree. A regular oak tree or something like that. It just got leaves or something. But there's nothing to eat from it. It's a barren tree. Rather, Kol ase hagan hayu ase machal. Every fruit in the tree is vayitzmach. Now, could that happen randomly? No, says the Chizkuni. That's because we get shteltsu back to the Ramban, because Hashem was the, what was the fancy word? Horticulturist. He mamish was putting every single tree. And therefore, because he put every single tree in, every single tree was this delicious, beautiful, fruit-bearing tree. Hengam mishunim letov mikol machal shapolam. And even though there's fruit trees, right, there's beautiful peach trees in Georgia, and beautiful orange groves in Florida, right, there's peanut farms and who knows where, but also Georgia. Right. But the point is, right, that point is, the point is, I didn't want to even be zocher him letov. Not a son of Yisrael. But All of that is wonderful, but none of it is as delicious as in the garden. And finally, conclude today's shir before we all lose all the air that is in this room and the heat. I don't know what's going on with the air conditioning in this building. Someone obviously turned it off. Concluding, says the Eben Ezra. So what is the last thing we learned in Perek Tes, in Pasuk Tes? There are these two trees. The Eitz Hadas is certainly the more controversial and studied tree for obvious reasons. So, but right now, let's see, what is the Eitz HaChayim? What is the Tree of Life? So what would you think? Again, it's going to be a huge machlokas in the commentators. What does the fruit of the Eitz HaDaas give? And we don't have to, it's not a theoretical question. Because when Adam and Chava ate the tree, the question is, what happens to them? What changes in them? And that's going to be, we'll see, famous, classic debate in our earliest philosophers and commentators. But what about the Tree of Life? As you eat that, what will be? So you would have thought, live forever, right? And it could be that there are others who do say that, but Eben Ezra rejects it. Eben Ezra says, Eitz HaChayim, she Yosef Chayim, v'yichya adam shanan rabos. You'll live a longer life. It's longevity. Ve'ein milaf la'olam ad olam v'ayim. But it does not mean forever and ever. V'hinei kein v'obdu la'olam. Right? You could, the Torah sometimes uses the word la'olam, even, and even that doesn't mean forever and ever. It means for a very long time. Right, so Ein Milas Olam Ad Olam Va'ed, because the pasuk later here in Paragimel, in Paragimel it speaks about how Adam, because they ate that, they're going to live. Right, so there, Eben Ezra, it does not mean that they're going to live forever. It means that they have a certain longevity. Now, what quality? That's quantity of life. The seems that the Eitz HaDaas is a different factor. The quality of what kind of a person you are. And again, a question to really keep in mind, first of all, as you may know, we'll see perhaps next week, famous debate in the commentators, what was that tree? What was the fruit? One thing for sure, it wasn't an apple tree. That's just, I don't know who made that up at what point in history. Everyone's seen the picture with the snake and the apple. That doesn't come from Jewish sources. But there are different opinions as to what that fruit was of the Eitz HaDaas. But furthermore, just to keep in the back of your mind, you know, we spoke earlier about little questions, but there's also a big question. And the big, big, super duper duper big question is, if Eitz HaDaas Tov HaRa, the purpose of Eitz HaDaas is no good and bad, so what do you think is a better human being? Someone who does know Tov HaRa or who doesn't know Tov HaRa? There's only one who does.
Right.
Yet, who is on a higher level? Adam before he sinned or after he sinned?
Before.
But before he sinned, he didn't know Tov HaRa. It's a tremendous conundrum. That is the profound question. There are lots of good little questions, and there are even some other big questions. But that is the profound question. What was Adam supposed to be? What was he at this point? And why is Eitz HaDaas Tov HaRa so bad? Because obviously, the ideal Adam would never have had it. It doesn't sound like such a bad thing. So with that, I'll leave you for thought for next week.
Eben Ezra, is that a...